thankful that each and every one of you are here, and I'm thankful that we have visitors among us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. I invite you to get your Bibles out and follow along with me. Take any notes that you'd like to take that you can study these things further. Make sure that what you're hearing is in harmony with the Word of God. Our scripture reading this morning was from Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 9. I appreciate Braden, the good job that he did in reading those references. In Acts chapter 3, as the Bible says, that Peter and John went up together to the temple about the 9th hour, being the hour of prayer, that there was a lame man who had been lame from his mother's womb, Acts 3 and verse 2, that they carried daily to the temple, which is called Beautiful, the gate of the temple, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And he thought that he was going to receive an alms, but I want you to notice that Peter, according to verse 4, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. But then Peter said, verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I want to capitalize for just a little bit this morning on that phrase, "such as I have." There are things that Christians have that others cannot lay claim to. They're available to others if others will do what God says is necessary in order to have those things. But I want us to think about just a little while this morning, "such as I have." If you're a Christian, then you have the things that I'm going to talk about this morning. 10 things that you have that's available to the world if they'll simply do what you've done in order to have those things. The first one I want you to think about is salvation. "Such as I have." You have salvation if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ. The word salvation is used at least 2 different ways in the Bible. We read about salvation, which is salvation to come, eternal salvation, like Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, when the Bible says that He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, the Bible says that Jesus will one day return again without sin unto salvation. But then the Bible also talks about salvation that we have now when we obey the gospel of Christ. Salvation from our past sins, according to Romans chapter 3 and in verse 25. In Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That is remission or remitting or the removal of our past sins that we've done when we obey the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 18 talks about those that are saved. And so if you obey the gospel of Christ, maybe you're here this morning, you've never done that. If you do that at the conclusion of this sermon, then you can have the salvation from your past sins and expectation of an eternal salvation that will be granted when the Lord returns. But you also have something else when you obey the gospel. And that's what we talk about from time to time, that's found in 1 John chapter 1, and that is fellowship with Christ and with the Father. I want you to look at that passage with me. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 3. The Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Do you want to have fellowship with the God who created you? You can have that fellowship if you'll obey this day. Our hope and our desire is certainly that you will obey the gospel of Christ. God wants you to do that before you leave today. He's granted you the opportunity that you have this day to obey the gospel of Christ. When you think about the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 10, and that we serve a God who desires for all men to be saved, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4. And when you do that, you can have the fellowship as being in the family of God. I think about that phrase, "of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named," that Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 15. But that stipulated on you obeying the gospel of Christ. In John chapter 3, the first 5 verses, when Nicodemus came to Jesus And Jesus said that a man must be born again. Remember that passage, born of the Spirit and of the water? That if a person is not born again, they cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. Someone says, well, how are we born again? You know, the Bible says that we are born again when we obey the gospel.
Amen.
According to 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 23, seeing that you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And Jesus said, according to John chapter 14 and verse 23, that he and the Father will come unto us and make their abode with us. Again, that's on the stipulation that we walk in the light as he is in the light. That we obey the gospel of God. And so you can have that fellowship with the God of heaven and with his Son, Jesus our Lord, if you'll obey the gospel of Christ, such as I have. But that text in 1 John chapter 1 also talks about a fellowship with one another. A spiritual fellowship that we can share together as being in the family of God. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sins. You know, when we obey the gospel of God, we are in the family of God. Sometimes we sing that hymn, God's Family. It's a beautiful, beautiful hymn. We are part of God's family when we are born into God's family, when we obey the gospel of Christ. Matthew 23 and verse 8. Jesus said, all ye are brethren. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Talks about us not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We have fellowship one with another when we obey the gospel of Christ, such as I have. Can you say that you have that? If you've obeyed the gospel of Christ, you can. But there's a fourth one I want you to think about this morning as we think about such as I have. That if you've obeyed the gospel of Christ, the Bible says that you have peace with God. We just had a Bible class on that last Wednesday, when Ray talked about peace with God. Jesus said, I think not that I come to give peace on the earth. I came not to give peace, but a sword. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 51. Then he talks about the division that would exist, that those of the same household would be divided one against another. But what Jesus did come was to give peace between man and his Creator. That's the peace that we can have if we obey the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 12 and in verse 18, God desires for us to have peace with our neighbors and peace with others. He said, if it be possible, as much as liveth in you, live at peace with all men. Be peaceably with all men. God doesn't want us feuding and fighting with our neighbors and so forth and so on. But again, the peace that Jesus came to give was a peace that we could have with God. And that didn't come cheap. That peace did not come without price. Because the Bible says that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And so we can have that peace with God when we obey his word. But there's another thing I want you to think about as we think about such as I have. And that is anticipation of a better country. You know, sometimes we think and we say that we live in the best country on the face of the earth, the greatest democracy in history. We need to be patriotic so far as that's concerned. A lot of things we have to be proud of. Some things we have that we don't need to be proud of. But folks, we can live in anticipation of a better country to come. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verse 16, the Bible says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. We talk about that peace often that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. That there remaineth a rest rather, I think I might have said peace, a rest that remaineth for the people of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19, as we talked about in the Bible class this morning, that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful about what the Lord said in John chapter 14 verses 1 through 6. We'll not read the whole passage. But the Lord said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I'm thankful for that. Such as I have, I can anticipate better things to come when I obey the gospel of Christ. And you can too. But that's not the only thing that we have as children of God. And folks, this list could just go on and on and on and on. We're just talking about 10. We're not even touching the hem of the garment this morning as we think about the phrase, "such as I have," and what you can have as a child of God. But that is hope. The Bible says that hope is an anchor to the soul, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 19. When the apostle was writing to the church of Christ at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and he was telling them, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Christ." That phrase "sleep" means that they died. He says that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. I'm thankful for the hope that we have in those that have died in the Lord. That hope is comforting. You know how I know that? Because like you, we've been comforted with passages like that, haven't we? But setting that aside, I know that that ought to comfort us, because that chapter ends in verse 18 by saying, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Myself, like just practically every one of you, have known of individuals who have served the Lord for the majority of their life and have passed away to now await the judgment to come. I have hope that they're better off. I don't know that. I have hope that they are. I don't have to sorrow for them as I would for someone who never obeyed the gospel of Christ, or obeyed and fell away and wasn't faithful to God. That gives us comfort. But then I think about something else that we have. Number 7. As a child of God, and that is access to our Father. We already talked about fellowship. But I'm talking about access to God. Someone says, "Preacher, I'm not so sure that I've heard about that." Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. Ephesians 2 and then verse 18. The Bible says, "For through Him," that is through Christ, "for through Him we both have access," there's that word, "access by one Spirit unto the Father." As a result of what Jesus accomplished, we have access to the Father. That is when we've obeyed the gospel of Christ. Think about that. Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 6. Talks about pray. "Let our supplication be made known by prayer unto God." That's a privilege that we have. We've already exercised that privilege on more than one occasion this Lord's Day, as we have went to our Heavenly Father in prayer. I think about those passages in the book of 1 Peter, at least three of them. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 12. When the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I think about 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 5 rather, in verse 7, when the Bible says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." I'm thankful for that. I don't boast about that. I'm not arrogant about that. I'm certainly not deserving of that, but I'm thankful for that. And as Christians, you enjoy in that as well. as well as all the other spiritual blessings that we have that we'll talk about in just a moment. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, seeing then that we have not a great high priest, or that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Some versions may say confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as you are, like as we are, yet without sin. Now notice the conclusion of that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. There's our access by Christ to the Father. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of need. I'm thankful for that. Such as I have. I'll tell you something else that I have and that you do as well. And that is reasons to rejoice. Are you happy this morning? You know, in Psalm 122, verse 1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the church, this side of the cross, is identified as the house of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Or 1 Timothy rather, chapter 3 and verse 15. That if thou tarriest long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We have reasons to rejoice. When you look at simple passages like Philippians chapter 4 and then verse 4, when he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You need to mark it down. You have something to be happy about this morning. So do I. We ought to rejoice and be glad that we can be here and do the things that God would have us to be doing. It's not always going to be easy, is it? Any of you been persecuted? Troubles and tribulations of various kinds that come upon us? The Lord said, in the midst of all those things, rejoice. Remember that, Matthew chapter 5? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, he talks about that. Blessed are ye who are persecuted, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you for falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice, he said. Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. In Acts 5:41, when the apostles were taken before the Sanhedrin, before the council of the Jews, and they were beaten, the Bible says that they departed from the council rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And I think about the eunuch of Ethiopia in his conversion as recorded in Acts chapter 8. The Bible says when he came up out of the water that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch sobbed no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Folks, if you'll obey the gospel this morning, and you'll be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you too can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, amen, heaven will be your eternal home. So let's try and purpose to not spend so much time looking down, but let us look up because we have reasons to rejoice. Number 9. Such as I have, and that is spiritual blessings. We have blessings that the world does not know. Now they can have them. As I said at the beginning of the sermon, if they'll obey what the Bible says to do. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3. The Bible talks about these blessings here. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What about those spiritual blessings? Think about how many blessings of a spiritual nature that you have. We've already talked about some of them. The forgiveness for our sins, fellowship with God and with His Son, fellowship with one another. The fact that God will listen to our prayers, and the list just goes on and on. But you ought to key in on that phrase, spiritual blessings which are in heavenly places in Christ. And folks, the only way to be in Christ is to be baptized into Christ, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28. Do you want those spiritual blessings? An anticipation of better things to come? Need to obey. Number 10. Such as I have. And that is an inheritance that fadeth not away. I don't know about you, but I've had individuals along life's way make me promises that I'm convinced they never once thought even about the first time about carrying through with them. That ever happened to you? I promise you this, I promise you that, and it never happens. Folks, we're not talking about something that God has promised that He'll not fulfill. We're talking about the God of heaven who has a good track record. 100% of fulfilling the promises that He has made. The book of Joshua reminds us about that. All those promises that God made to the children of Israel, the land promise, the nation promise, and so forth, so on. The Bible says there hath not failed one promise that God had given, that all came to pass. That tells me I can trust in God. That when He says that He is going to give me that home in heaven, I know He'll deliver that. He'll keep His part. If I fail to get it, it'll be on my shoulders. It'll be my doing, not God's doing. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4, the Bible says, to an inheritance, that's what we're talking about. Now listen about that inheritance. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Such as I have, you have that. Reserved in heaven for you. Now that doesn't mean your name cannot be blotted out of the book of life, because it can. But we have that eternal inheritance that fadeth not away. John 14, 1 through 6, as I mentioned a moment ago. I think about the words of the Apostle Paul as recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 6, verses 4, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. When in that passage, evidently he realized that it wasn't going to be long before his life was going to be over. And he wrote about that. And he said, for the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the confidence that he exhibited in that. Not so much in self, but in God, that God was going to give him that. Paul knew what he had done. He knew that he had been faithful. And you know that today as well. You know whether you've done and complied with what the Word of God says. You know whether or not you've been faithful to Him in all things. I don't know that relative to what your life. There may be things amiss in your life that me and no one else knows about. God knows about it. And folks, mark it down. The Bible says that all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, that there's nothing hidden from His sight. That crown of life we talk about. We sing about it. Revelation 2 and then verse 10. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, where he talks about not laying up for ourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves do not break forth and steal. Where are your treasures at? Where our treasures are, there will our heart be also. Such as I have. You have those things as a child of God. But there may be those in our midst this morning who's never obeyed the gospel. You're not a Christian. And you hear a sermon like this and you say to yourself, I want to obey the gospel of Christ so that I can have those things. So that I can anticipate a better country. So that I can have the forgiveness of my sins and have fellowship with Him who created me and with Him who shed His blood on the cross for me. You can do that. God's made provision for that in sending His Son to die on the cross. Jesus said, this is my blood which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. You need to believe that. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you? Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Will you repent of your sins? That means stop doing wrong. Change your mind about what you've been doing wrong. And have a change of mind that results in a change of life. That's repentance, Matthew 21. And the Lord said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, shall likewise perish. Luke 13:3. And stand before this audience this morning, confess your faith in Christ. Like the Lord commanded, Matthew 10:32-33. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to do that? And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. All things are ready. The water's ready. It's heated. You can change, be baptized, put your dry clothes back on. Hardly any inconvenience at all. Why not do that? Maybe you have, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've fallen away. You stop being who God would have you to be. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness, as Simon was told to do in Acts the 8th chapter. We'll pray with you and for you, folks, if you want to obey the gospel. And go to heaven when life is over, we bid you come.